good evening. I really appreciate George's prayer. He mentioned me. Someone's heart being picked tonight or realized. And I'm going to tell you, George, one heart has already been picked, and that's mine. I've thought about this for probably a month or so. And after Dean Bowman and the meeting that we had with him and the wonderful lessons that he taught, and I am, I can, and I must. And I'd like to refer to it as we are, we can, and we must. Several weeks ago, Teresa Sampson came forward. And I went up to her afterwards and I just said, we all need to have enough strength to admit that we're wrong and we don't do all we can. And how many times have I said, Scott, God only wants one thing, and that's your all. And I think about things like that, and I'm 71 years old now, and for some reason I haven't been very active for probably the last 5 years. It seems like I have one excuse after another. I got several tonight, got a bottle of water, and I told Brendan, if my legs go out, I'll just cut it a little short. But I'm up here leaning on this podium, and I don't think I'm going to have any problem at all. Once again, I'm no high tech, no low tech, just God's text. The scripture that I'd like to use for the sermon tonight, and the title of the sermon is going to be Christian Sacrifices. And I got into this, you know, sacrifices aren't something that's a burden upon us. Sacrifices are things that are offered unto God. The Old Testament, under the old law, they had all kinds of sacrifices. They had burnt offerings. They had sin offerings. They had peace offerings. Free will offerings, on and on and on. But we have, under the Christian dispensation and under the Christian covenant, all the sacrificial offerings that we have are in a universal offering that was made by the Son of God on the cross of Calvary for the sins of every person that has ever existed and lived in this world. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world is the only sacrifice we're concerned with today. Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable means rational, just, and fair. And I take that to mean that this reasonable service that we are required to do is nothing beyond that we can't do. The service aspect of what we're talking about tonight, I believe, involves three things. It involves our time, which is probably the most valuable thing we have on this earth, except for our soul. But as far as on this earth, our time, our talent, and our treasures. These are things that we value very, very much. We know that God, as far as sacrifice is concerned, by the example of Cain and Abel, will not accept every sacrifice unless it's offered the way it should be. There was a man that felt that life had kind of passed him by and things were pretty rough on him. And he sat down one evening and decided to count his blessings. And as he did it, he realized that there were so numerous that he couldn't possibly count all of them. Then he reflected on the sacrifices that he had offered up to the Lord, or he had done for God. And he couldn't think of one sacrifice that he had made. And he thought, good parents make an awful lot of sacrifices for their children. And I think all of us as parents realize that. There are good men and women in our armed forces that sacrifice their life for this country, that we can have the freedom to be here tonight and to worship God and offer up our songs and our prayers to Him. Christians have already presented their bodies as a sacrifice through baptism. And then they were raised up in a newness of life for one purpose: to serve God, to save other souls, to save their own soul. I love Scott and what he said when he came here to consider the work here at West Mason. He said, number one, I'm concerned in saving my soul and all the souls that are possible to save. And you think about that. And that's what we do as a servant of God. This particular verse says, I beseech you, brethren. These were Christian people that had given themselves to God. They had been baptized. They were now serving God. Now they are to present them for worship and service. What I'd like to do, the remaining part of the lesson this evening, is talk about some of the sacrifices that our Lord wants us to make while upon this earth, while serving Him. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 15, says, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips and giving thanks to His name. So the first sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise. This could be rendered in the form of a prayer or a song or a conversation. Psalms 100, a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to His people. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. A joyful shout. Sometimes I think that's the way I sing. I just shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and his take his courts with praise, be thankful to him, and bless his name. He is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth is endless forever. We all should be able to sing this song of praise to our Heavenly Father. This is rendered in prayer. The songs should be songs of praise, the fruit of our lips. When Christians pray, they shall pray to our God as to realize with a sense of total dependence upon Him who supplies all of our needs. He has provided us with every need that we have. That's the way we are to approach His throne. Never pray to God thinking that there's no way He can answer this or do anything about it. We know better than that. It might be taking a different form than we originally asked for, but God hears our prayers when we offer it up in the form of praying. There was a young man who came to services one evening, and this has probably happened here. Is Jason here tonight? I don't see him. Anyhow, Jason goes to the Reds games and things like that, or the Bengal games, and he's hoarse from cheering the various teams on. And he said, I yelled myself hoarse at the game. We've all done it. But you know, I left here last night, and I was hoarse. We sang for an hour and 40 minutes and lifted the songs of praise up to heaven. And that's something to cheer about. That's something to feel good about. I get goosebumps just talking about it. I loved it. We sang that last song last night, and I cried. I'm just saying that this is an example of what we're talking about in sacrifices and praise. Where's the excitement? Let's get it back. That's what I say about myself. You know, get excited. You're meeting here with the best people on earth without any fear whatsoever, singing praises and praising God. And get used to it now, because that's what we got to look forward to. That's why we're here. The next thing I want to talk about is the sacrifice of doing good, communicating. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. We can't do our sacrificing with empty words. Example, talking to someone who is hungry, somebody who is needy, be ye warmed and filled, is not enough. James 2, verses 14 through 17 says, and this concerns faith without works, but it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So when we talk to someone who's destitute, someone who is in dire need, just words doesn't get it done. But provide something that will help relieve their problem. There is much teaching on giving of material substance in the Bible. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Also 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10, talking about a cheerful giver. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He also sows bountifully will reap bountifully, and so forth. We're all familiar with those scriptures. The Christians in Macedonia sacrificed to give because they had first given of themselves to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Examples of the sacrifice of doing good and communicating. These people excelled in giving. Remember the three T's we're talking about: time, treasure, and talent. These are the things that we have to give, to share with other people. There was a, some of y'all may have heard this story. It's supposedly a true story. Two Christian men with congregation and their families had gone on a trip around the world. And they were in South Korea, and as they were on a bus tour in South Korea, they went by some farms, rice paddies and so forth, and as they looked out into the paddies, I guess that's what you call them, wouldn't be a field, the paddy, field of paddies, whatever, they noticed a young boy pulling a plow. And his father was behind him with the handles as he went through the paddy cultivating the land. And the one man looked at the other one and said, "Would you look at that?" He said, why would they do that?" And about that time, a gentleman that was on the tour bus and was passing off information to everyone, overheard them talking. He said, those particular people are from Shaanxi, which was a small town that they were going through. And he said, and the one man looked at him and said, why are they doing it like that?" And the man said, "Well, they had an ox." He said, "They had an ox. Why aren't they using it?" And they said, "Well, the church that they attend are in the process of building a building. They don't have one. And they didn't have any money to offer to help with the payment for the material to build the church. So they sold their ox and gave it to the church." And the man said, what a sacrifice that they made." And the man looked at him and said, "They didn't consider the sacrifice. Said that they thanked God that they had the ox that they could sell it." And the two men, one man took a picture of it. And several weeks later, when they were back home, he went to one of the elders of the church that he went to and showed him the picture and told him the story. And he said, after seeing that, he said, "I want to do all I possibly can to help any way I can." He said, "I think about it, everything," he said, "the money and everything I've given has never been a sacrifice to where it's been a hardship on me or anything. But I want you to give me a plow and let me pull it. And that's the kind of example it was for them. But those people said, this isn't a sacrifice. We thank God we had the ox to sell. And that's supposedly a true story, but that'll wake you up. And at least it did me. Okay, the next sacrifice I want to talk about Romans 12:1, it said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies. Your bodies. The body is the instrument. We are instruments of God. As Christians, we're instruments of God to work in His vineyard. We're implements, instruments to do, we're the plow. We're tilling the land, whatever it might be. But our bodies do that. By which all human service is rendered to God, this includes every member of our body. Remember how the Apostle Paul used the body and the different members to break down the church? I believe it was at Corinth. One would be this, one would be that. The eyes must be employed in doing what? Searching the scriptures, reading God's word, studying God's word. What for? In order to be able to teach others. It must be surveying good works, being aware of what's going on around. These two gentlemen that saw what they saw, good works, bring it back, apply it to their own life, help others. And searching for lost souls, the eyes searching for lost souls. How many times did we pray for opportunities for a lost soul that we might teach the gospel to them? Secondly, our hands should not be used as instruments of mischief, but of mercy. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to do what? To give him who has a need. Our hands should be used for that rather than for mischief or sin or whatever. Our ears must be swift to hear God's voice of instruction through his word, to turn from temptation, to turn from pride, to turn from slander, to turn from flattery, to turn from selfishness. The list goes on and on. But our God's voice of instruction through our ears will see to it that we do that. The other part of our body that we've talked about in James, the tongue. The little tongue that can get you in so much trouble. Ephesians 4:20 says, no evil communications, but edify one another. Whenever you get the opportunity, instead of evil talking about someone, slander, rumors, whatever it might be, instead edify someone. Say something good about someone. Our tongues are used to teach and to invite. To teach others, to invite them to come to the services. Listen to the word of God. Sing praises unto God. Our tongues are to be used to teach, invite, to read to our children. How important is that? How many of us do that? Responsibility, once again, of parents to do that. The list goes on and on concerning the body. The feet should carry the body to places where service can be rendered to other people. They are to be used to serve God, which includes serving our fellow man and so forth. All parts of the body are used. All other things sacrificed are not a burden for one who has already given his body to the Lord. You know, We're very, very fortunate here. We have got people that are wonderful examples for the young people. One of those persons, I don't think she's here tonight either, is Sarah. And the trips she's been making for several years down to Jamaica to work with the young children down there. You know, most of us, our idea of Jamaica is what we see on Wheel of Fortune. And you know, they get a trip down there and you see all this beautiful beach and hotels and one thing and parasailing. And but there's another side to Jamaica. The percentage of Jamaica is poverty, very poor people. And she goes down there and works with the young children, her and her sister Amy and others that go down there that she goes with. But that's to go down there, and she is sharing her talent, she is sharing her treasures, and she's sharing her time. And she's now little Sophie's going down with her. What a wonderful example for that little girl. And then one other person that we can be proud of is George. It's going down to Florida for 4 months out of the year, and we think he's down there playing golf and just having a good old time. And George goes down there, number one reason, to work with a small congregation to help them any way he possibly can. And now George is going to go down there and become a permanent fixture and a tremendous asset and a tremendous servant for God, working with those people down there in that congregation. Just a wonderful example. And it pricks my heart to think of what little I do and what I could do and what I don't do. And I want to change that from I am, I can, I must. And that's what this is all about. The motive of the appeal to sacrifice. What's the motive to do this? By the mercies of God, as it says in Romans 12:1. Paul seems to say, God has been gracious to us, and now let us, as much as humanly possible, pay him back. Let's return our love. 1 John 4:19 said, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he sacrificed his son. We love him because through him we have an opportunity of spending eternity in heaven. These are the motives that appeal for sacrifice. He who serves God from a grateful heart, from a thankful heart, makes the best servant. You know, a lot of times sacrifices we think means, oh no, what am I, we hesitate. We think about the negative aspects of it. And that's nothing but the devil interceding. Negative ideas to slow you down with your willingness to make these sacrifices. A grateful heart makes the best servant, a thankful heart. This is true because it is actuated by the highest motive of all, motive stripped of selfishness. Today, too many living sacrifices are crawling off the altar so as not to be offered up to our God. Not many are required to die for Christ today. We can read concerning the apostles and the terrible deaths that they suffered because of their belief and their teachings. Not too many die for Christ today in our times, but we are asked to live for Christ. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit, which are God's. Also, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. These are the motives that appeal to sacrifice. Are you willing to make sacrifices for God, for the Lord? His eternal salvation is offered for those who are willing to do it. And this is holy, acceptable unto God, your spiritual service. Are you presenting your body as a living sacrifice unto God? Knowledge plus opportunity equal responsibility. We are, we can, we must. Have you taken the first step to become a living sacrifice for God? And that's surrendering your life, your body, to God through baptism, to be raised up in a newness of life, to be a servant of God. If you're here tonight and you haven't been the sacrifice that you should be, and you need to build yourself up, to have the prayers of the congregation, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.